Thank you for joining us at Living Word NRA's podcast. We are a church who worships God and advances His kingdom. For more messages and content, be sure to follow us and subscribe to our channel for you to stay connected.
Good morning. Thank you, Pastor. I'm also blessed and thankful to God for giving me His grace to be here on the pulpit. This time, I'm going to remove my mask. Kayhanga kayo. Anyway, I'm also blessed to see you all here. I can see your commitment to the Lord, right? So, yes, going back to what Pastor Nick said, I was supposed to preach on a Christmas series on December 26th, but something came up. Something unexpected came up. Her name is Odette. So he definitely ruined our city and other parts of the country. But anyway, this morning we'll be talking about carols, right? Christmas carols. And all right. So we're going to look at some truths from a classic carol called Away in a Manger. So before I let you experience that song, let's just stand up and let's pray. Lord, we come before you. We want to thank you for this beautiful morning. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for your grace, giving us another year to face with you, O God. Thank you for the opportunity to listen to your word. We pray that you open our hearts and minds as you speak to us. Holy Spirit, we invite you, Lord. Fill our hearts with your spirit. We entrust you everything, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. So please take your seats. So going back, we're going to talk about a song, a Christmas carol called Away in a Manger. So I'll just give you a little context of this song. And this song was first published in a Lutheran Sunday school curriculum in 1885. So that's around 137 years old. That's how old that song is. But there's a lot of controversy around about who wrote this song. And a lot of people think that it was Martin Luther, the father of Great Reformation. But after more study, most people say that he isn't actually the one who wrote the song. And so there's a mystery as to who wrote the lyrics of this amazing song. But there is no mystery that this song has touched a lot of hearts for decades and decades. So I want you to experience the song, this Christmas carol performed by our worship team. So let's give it up for our worship team.
He makes, I love thee, Lord Jesus.
How many of you enjoyed that song? Anybody say that it was a kind of special song, right? Growing up, I've been hearing that song, and I believe it touched many hearts. And something about imagining Jesus being born, you know, God stripping himself of his glory and being born in the lowest place, showing that none of us are too low for his grace, right? So there's a phrase in that song being used over and over again, and I want to focus on it. It's and my hope is that for years from now, when you hear that song, when you worship through that song, maybe when you hear that song, God will bring to your memory what we will experience today. And I hope and hopefully bring you back into the alignment with his spirit. So I want you to focus on, there's a phrase there in that song over and over again. It says, a little Lord Jesus. The little Lord Jesus, I mean. And I love that phrase, so the little Lord Jesus. Unfortunately, in some ways, focusing on just the baby Jesus may be a little unhelpful for us. It's unhelpful for us because Jesus isn't only just the dear 6-pound, 8-ounce baby Jesus. There's so much more to what God intended for us. So rather than focusing on the size of the baby Jesus, what we want to focus on is the Lordship of Christ, the Lordship of Christ. So the key thought of the message, if you want to write down on that, the key thought is Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. So in fact, 740 times in the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as Lord. 740 times. In fact, I want to look at once the classic arrow verses, one of the most quoted verses from Luke's Gospel, dealing with the birth of Christ. And show you the very first mention of the Savior's birth called Lord. Luke chapter 2. The context, I'm going to share the context. The context is the shepherds were watching the flocks at night. And the angels of the Lord appeared and said, it says there, do not be afraid. I bring good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And today, the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. He is Christ the Lord. At the very beginning of Jesus' story, it is established that Jesus is the Son of God. He's being born, and he's the Savior of the world, and he is Christ the Lord. That's very clear in the Bible. And the big question is this. I want you to... know that what does it mean to make Jesus our Lord? What does it mean to make Jesus our Lord? If Jesus is Lord, what does it mean in our everyday life? If we are married, what does it mean in our marriage? Right? If we're dating, what does it mean when we're dating? For some of you students, if you're finishing finals, what does Jesus is Lord mean in your finals. What does it mean to make Jesus our Lord? So there's a Greek word in that translated to Lord. It is called kurios. And this word, kurios, it means supreme authority. It means controller. It means Lord. Now, I can already imagine some of you, the word controller is going to be a challenge. Because if Jesus is the controller, he's got a competition in you, right? Because you want to be in control, right? Thankfully, I don't have that problem at all. I'm not a control freak or whatsoever, not a bit. As long as everything goes my way and everybody does what I want, then I don't have a problem with it. Okay, maybe I've got a problem with that. So I want to be in control with everything, whether driving a car, right? I honestly can barely sit in the passenger seat because nobody drives right, especially my wife. Of course, my wife is a great driver. I'm just a control freak. I tend to direct her, even though she's the one driving, right? And I don't know how it will be for you, yeah, but chances are a lot of you want to be in control as well, right? Whether it's, I want my day to go this way. Some of you are list makers here. Who are the one who are list makers, right? I don't jack with my list. Like, if it's on my list, it has to be done. I've got to do it. I just want everything to be perfect. And so many of us wants to be in control. And well, what does it mean Jesus is supreme in authority? Jesus is controller. Jesus is Lord. What does it mean to make Jesus our Lord in our lives, right? If I can be technical right now for a moment, I don't want to be... when we don't make Jesus as Lord... Actually, we don't make Jesus as Lord. God made him Lord. Do you realize that? God made him Lord long time ago. And he is already Lord, and we don't make him Lord. And what we do is we surrender to what he already is. Amen? We surrender to our lives. We surrender our lives to his lordship, right? And we don't make him Lord. God made him Lord. We surrender to his lordship. What does that mean? We surrender to his lordship. Well, we surrender to the supreme in authority. We surrender to the only one who is really in control. We surrender to the Lord. We surrender to his lordship. And so what I want to do for the rest of the time here is talk about surrendering our lives to the lordship of Christ. And how do we do that? So I want to talk about two different levels of surrender. Not many, just two levels. The first one, for note takers, it's called the partially surrendered life. The partially surrendered life. And I'm afraid that this is where the majority of Filipino Christians are living right now. Partially surrendered life. And many of you, other parts of the Lord, I believe there's so much devotion where the persecution is more intense. But here, where we live in, there's so many what I would call casual Christians or cultural Christians. Pastor Craig Groeschel wrote a book called The Christian Atheist. The Christian Atheist. So it means they believe in God. They believe that God exists, but they live as if he doesn't exist. It's the partially surrendered life. So Luke 6, verse 46, it says, so just a little bit of context, just Jesus was talking about the wise builders and the foolish builders. And he was speaking of the foolish builders. He said, okay, guys, why do you call me? Why do you call me Lord? He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Why do you call me the Lord of your life? Why do you say, I'm the Lord, and do not say, or do not do what I say? Why are you giving me lip service? I don't want lip service. I want live service. I don't want a bunch of talk. I don't just want, don't just talk the talk. Just walk the walk. What is it? Why is it you're calling me Lord, the Lord of your life? And do whatever you want to do. Yeah, that's Jesus was basically saying. You say, this isn't a game. Jesus is saying, well, let's get it right. Unfortunately, today, I believe there are so many people who would say that, I believe in Jesus, but I still want to be in control. I believe in Jesus, but I still want to do whatever I want to do. I believe in Jesus, but I'm not just going to trust Him in everything, right? We read our Bibles, but we don't live as if the Bible exists. And so before long, we practically, by the way we live, we just take the Bible and say, when it comes to relationship, right? I know Jesus, I'm supposed to, you know, pray for those who hurt me. You know, to bless those who persecute me. You know, I'm supposed to forgive, but after what they did to me, there's no way I'm going to forgive them. Just forget it. Just forget it. We take God's word, we just say, forget it. Oh no. When it comes to my money, I'm supposed to trust God and not go crazy in debt, right? I'm supposed to give 10%. And 10%? That's the most stupidest thing I've ever heard. There's no way I'm going to do that. And when it comes to my time, the way I live, I'm supposed to give God my time. I'll give Him my Sundays, but not, I'm not giving Him my Saturdays, even my Fridays as well. You know, I'm going to sleep, I'm going to party and all, and I'm just going to do whatever I want. Kaya ngon siguro mo, patay gini yung bata, gabaan gini. Galaxy na yung Bible. No, let me just remind you, I'm just, if you're highly offended, what I just did is just, I just ripped the pages and ink, right? But many of us, sadly, we reap God's word every day with the way we live or the way we don't live. Jesus said, hang on, don't call me Lord and do whatever you want to do. Just don't call me Lord. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? It's the partially surrendered life. In fact, let me show you in Proverbs 3:5, that's my life verse. Yeah, I got it from the PSV. PSV stands for partially surrendered version in the Bible. Help me out with this. Trust in the Lord with some of your heart and lean on your own understanding. In some of your ways, acknowledge Him, and you can make your own paths straight. So if you're kind of new to church and all, I just want to say that that's not the real version of the Bible. I'm just showing you. I changed it into a partially surrendered version, but here's the deal. What you need to understand is Jesus is no part-time Lord, right? He doesn't want part-time followers. When it comes to Him, He asks you to forgive your whole life. Luke 9 says, "You want to follow me? Take up your own cross and follow me." Said, if you want to find your life, lose it. Lose it. You give it away. You surrender it. You come under the Lordship of Christ. He's the supreme authority. He's the one who says what is right. He's the one who says what is wrong. He is the one who is the controller. He's the Lord of all. And we can come under His Lordship. And it's not just pick and choose. And I like this. And this keeps me out of hell. And I'm going to do whatever I want. No, no, no. He is really serious. Why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a moment and be very open to what God might show you and ask you, and ask a question very prayerfully. What have I not surrendered to the Lord? What area in my life am I still trying to control? What area am I unwilling to give God? It could be a number of different things, right? But I want you to be really, really open and be honest before God and put a name on whatever it is. Like for some of you, it might be, you know, I'm going to trust God with all of these different things, but not with my kids, right? They are my kids, and I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to worry about when I want because I want to control my kids. Or it could be your future. You know, I've got to get in line, lined up, baby. It's I have to go to that. I go, and this is what I want to do. I'm going to graduate here, and I'm going to school there, and then I'm going to get a job, and then and live in this part of the country. And I'm going to be married in such time, and if not, then God is not really there. And you just keep control, and you want to surrender that. You don't want to surrender your future. And it could be your relationship. It could be that I'm not going to do what God wants me to do, or I know I'm dating this wrong person, and I shouldn't be dating her or him. She's not drawing closer to me to God, but I love her. You know? I can't change her. Just stay in control with your relationship. What is it? What is it that you've not surrendered to the Lordship of Christ? Do you know that what it's called for something we can't surrender to God? It's called stronghold. Stronghold. So a stronghold is a bad habit or a sin. It's a discouraging challenge. It's a something that's hindering us from following God. It's something that we are unwilling to entrust God. It's something that we hold on to, even God can't touch it. What is your stronghold? For me, for years, one of the biggest strongholds in my life, is the fear of not having enough money. Who agrees with me? Katong di mo agree mo tong mga nagakorta, di kayo kinalag korta, no? And I've talked about this a lot of times. I thought that if I don't have money, I don't have control in my life. Do you agree? If there's just real fear of not having enough. I said, Lord, you can test me in any area of my life, but not my finances. Don't touch my money. I said that. I was trusting in my ability to manage my money rather than trusting God as the source of all. And in that area, I was half-hearted. I was lukewarm, distant to God's promises, and a part-time follower. I was not doing exactly what He says. And you know what God did to me? He took away my ability to produce wealth. He took away my job. I did everything I could to earn, but God hinders me to earn. He took my job, and for years, I had to surrender my finances to God. I gave it up to God. Yet, God was faithful to me, even though I was not earning for a year. He's providing my daily needs, and I was dependent on His provision. And I learned to surrender my finances to God. And because Jesus is no part-time Lord, and He doesn't want part-time followers. And I want you to be as honest as I was and say, what is it? What area am I not fully surrendering to God? What am I not fully surrendering to the Lordship of Christ? So right now, I'll give you a moment. This time, I need you to close your eyes. Come on, close your eyes and just about 15 seconds. As you close your eyes, search your heart. So check the area or the areas that you are afraid to give God the control. So what is your stronghold? So this is between you and the Lord. Hold that thought. Keep that thought. So you can open your eyes now. You can open your eyes now. And so almost all of us, in one way or another, we are living a partially surrendered life, right? Don't you agree? Remember, Jesus is no part-time Lord, and He doesn't want part-time followers. So we've discussed how a partially surrendered life looks like. So this time, let's talk about another level of surrender. And that is what Jesus wants us. And it's called the fully surrendered life. The fully surrendered life. All in. Not kind of Sunday Christian, not kind of when it's convenient, but a full on, holding nothing back, right? My life doesn't belong to me, but belongs to Him commitment. In fact, I love the way Paul phrased it in Romans 14, verses 7 to 8. He said, for we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you are living? How many of you are alive? Okay, a solid 1%. Some of you, rest of you, we need to have a prayer time at the end of the service. Honestly, how many of you are living right now? Come on. Around 4%. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Most of you are now. Verse 8, it says, if we live, why do we live? It's to honor whom? The Lord. The Lord, the Kurios, the supreme in authority. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's to do what? It's to honor the Lord. And so whether we live or die, who do we belong to? The Lord. If you're a Christian, who do you belong to? The scripture says we belong to the Kurios, the Lord. Right? We belong to Him. Our life is not our own. We surrender to His Lordship. We belong to Him. Here's the deal. When Jesus shed His blood and died for us, He offered the availability of a free gift to us. That's called salvation. And it's by grace that we have been saved through faith. It's not by works so that no man can boast. It is the gift of God given to us, right? Salvation costs us nothing, but it costs Jesus everything. Right? But when we say we no longer own the rights to our lives, right? We belong to Him. We're saying we do not own our lives anymore. Does that make sense? We belong to Him. We surrender to His Lordship. Our life is not our own. And your life is no longer your own. And we are no longer the controller of our lives or the Lord of our lives. He is. That's why I'm so afraid in what I see right now. So much people today have kind of a casual approach to Jesus. Like, He's just a 6-pound, 8-ounce baby Jesus. Oh, Jesus is my buddy. Jesus is my homeboy. No, no, no. Jesus isn't just a little Lord Jesus baby in the manger. He's not just the Lord. baby in the manger. He is not just the Lord on the cross dying for our sins, but what we need to understand that He is soon returning, conquering, reigning, and ruling, supreme in authority, coming back with a sword, with a name written in it, that He is the King of Kings, and He is the Lord of Lords, and He means business. Don't just say, Lord, Lord, and just do whatever you want to do. He's the supreme, ruling, reigning King of the universe. Our lives, if you're a Christian, it doesn't belong to you anymore. So with that said, Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, this is the real version of the Bible. It says, we are told to trust the whom? Trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord. With how much of our hearts? With all of our hearts, right? And we're told to lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways, what are we to do? We're to acknowledge Him, and He will make our paths straight. So the word acknowledge there, the verse we just read, I believe there's a better translation of the word acknowledge. In the Hebrew language, the word that translates acknowledge is the word yada, yada. This is the same word that translates to know. No, it's the same word that is described in the intimate relationship with Adam and Eve. So that means in all your ways, know Him and He will make your path straight. Amen? Here's the bottom line. The reason so many of us don't surrender some of the areas of our lives to the Lordship of Christ is because we do not know Him. Right? We do not know Him in that area of our lives. And that's the bottom line. You know, to know Him is to love Him. To know Him is to trust in Him. To know Him is to surrender to Him. To know Him is to surrender to His Lordship. Because when we know Him, we know that He is ever-present. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. And He is good in every way. He is holy and set apart from us. He is so holy that even a mortal man cannot look upon Him and His purest essence and still live. To know Him is to surrender to Him because He is the reigning, ruling King of the universe. And not only He's some far away powerful God, but He's a relational God who came to us in the name of Emmanuel, to God be with us, because He wanted to reveal Himself to us. That's why when He sent Jesus, why He sent Jesus Christ so we can know Him, so we can see Him, so we can relate to Him, so we could have a love relationship with Him. It's all about relationship. When someone asked Jesus, Rabbi, what is the most important commandment? Jesus basically said, it's a relational command. It's a relational command. The most important command is to love the Lord with all our hearts, with all our soul, mind, and strength. It's a whole, fully committed life. It's not a partially feel good. It's like, I like this, I don't like that. But it's out of love relationship. It's because I know Him, because I love Him. Earlier, today, I talked about the area in my life that I didn't surrender to the Lord. You know, it's my finances. So what I had to do was to search out the scriptures. Search out the scriptures. And I said, Lord, I'm partially committed in this area of my life. If I truly believe in God, and if I truly believe that God is my provider, then I'm simply a steward. That's what I am. I'm a manager of the resources that He provides. And as I read the scripture, I see that It's far more blessed to give than to receive. That giving is an opportunity. That the only way I overcame my poverty mindset or hoarding and all is to give, give, give. And when I give, I know that his goodness, I know his goodness, that we cannot outgive God. Because I know the goodness of God, and I can trust in this area of my life. So if there's in any area which you are not surrendering to him, it's because you don't know him in that area. To love him is to know him is to love him. And it's time to get to know the Lord in this area of our lives. So I have a little confession to make. It's been hard for me to prepare the sermon. You know, hearing that sermon that's so strong. I've been convicted. And 3 weeks ago, me and my wife had a great fight. A fight so great that I want to end my relationship with her. I don't want to commit to her anymore. No, I want to end our marriage. You know what we're fighting about? We're fighting about Korean buffet. Our marriage almost ended because of Korean buffet. So the lesson I learned about this is when your wife is on her period and she asks you to eat Korean buffet, just go out and eat. Right? No question asked. If you want to keep your marriage, just eat Korean buffet. Just kidding aside. You know, we had a great fight. A fight that almost cost our marriage. And so, I asked forgiveness from her. You know. And in my quiet time, God reminded me that the marriage is the reflection of God's love. Marriage is the reflection of God's love. And I didn't understand that. I said, Lord, why are you saying that? Why marriage? Of all the things, why marriage, Lord? He personally told me that. He didn't answer me yet. The marriage is the reflection of Christ's love. And another day, you know, our dear pastor, Pastor Nick, and his beautiful wife, Tita Ann, came to my house to the rescue. 3 a.m., knocking on our door. It's just like they were there just to listen to me. They listened to me, you know, they encouraged me to continue with, you know, my marriage. When I talked to the next day, when I was able to talk with my wife, she told me that she couldn't live without me. She couldn't imagine herself living without me. And at the back of my mind, I was, this woman is really committed to me. You know, despite of all the things that I've done, all the sins I committed against her, she still loves me. So after our counseling and all, our relationship was restored. Praise God for that. And during with my alone time with the Lord, that's the time God answered me why marriage is the reflection of God's love for us. You know why? Because Jesus is committed to us. Jesus is so committed to us that even though we sin against him, many times God still forgives us. Jesus is so committed to us that he even died for us, just for us to live for him, just to restore our relationship with him. That's why marriage is a commitment. It's not just the happy moments. It's about commitment even though you're going through tough times. It's not just during abundance. It's about commitment even in the drought season, even if you don't have money. My wife, my doesn't stay with me just because of empty promises. But it's because of this intimate, ongoing love relationship. It's because we know each other, because we've given our lives to each other. It's because she is committed to me. And I to him. To her, I mean. It's an everyday living, thriving relationship. It's all about relationship. A relationship that is fully committed to each other. A fully surrendered life to each other. So let me end with this. So right now, there are two kinds of people in this room today. There are partially committed Christians. There are also those who are fully surrendered Christians. So my question is this. What kind of Christian are you? What kind of commitment do you have for the Lord? This new year, 2022, I want to encourage you to recommit your life to the Lord. This is the perfect year to recommit our lives to the Lord. This is the best time to recommit our lives to the Lord because God is the God of second chances. And God can restore us. As we surrender to His Lordship, you know, He will direct us and He will help us to be changed. Because Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Not our faith. He is the one who perfects our faith. Yet we stumble and fall and all that. But Jesus is faithful. Amen? He is faithful and just. And He will forgive us from all unrighteousness. Even cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All He wants for us to have is a fully surrendered life. Because He is the Christ. Christ the Lord. The Kurios. The supreme in authority. The controller. Because He is the Lord. Amen? So right now, let's pray. Close our eyes. Bow down your head. This is between you and the Lord. So there are those of you who recognize that you may be maybe in the church scene for a long time. Or maybe this is your first time in the church. But you recognize that you really don't know God and you want to. Today we're going to call on the name of the Lord, Jesus, Son of God, born in the manger. Without an earthly father, so He didn't inherit the sin nature, so that He could be our Savior, becoming sin on the cross, shedding His blood, dying and being raised to life, so that anyone who call on His name will be saved. That's why you're here. And if you're saying, that's me, I'm that person. If you're saying, I want to know Him, I want to serve Him, I need to be forgiven, I want to be in a relationship with Him, I don't want to call Him Lord, I want to know Him as Lord. This is between you and the Lord as you close your eyes, bow down your head. Why don't you lift up your right hand? Lift them high if this is you. If you want to surrender your life. If you're saying, that's my prayer. Others of you don't know Him. If you don't know Jesus, if you're saying, I want to know Him. Others would say, yes, Jesus, I wholly surrender to You. I want to know You as my personal Savior and Lord. And I would you lift up your hand, please, as you surrender to Him? Pray this prayer with me. And make it your personal prayer to the Lord. And just simply say, Lord, God, Heavenly Father, I ask forgiveness. I humble myself. Save me from my sins. Make me new. I don't want just to know about You. I want to know You. Transform me. Fill me with Your Spirit. I believe Jesus died for me and He rose again so I could live for Him. I give You my whole life, everything. You are my Lord, my Savior. Thank You for the new life Now you have my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's continue to pray. Lord, we want to thank you for this time for speaking to us. This beautiful, this new year, an opportunity for us to think through, to render our lives, Lord, to focus on you, to focus on the curious. Surrender our strongholds, area after area of our lives. We are sick of ourselves. We want to be changed, Lord. Thank you for the encouragement. We have a year to face with you, oh God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen.